Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 206. A lot of stuff going on. We have starting the second half of the season with match day 18. We've got the Taça da Liga, League Cup semifinals and final next week. We are heading into the final 2 weeks of the transfer window, and I've already told you my opinions about why I don't think there'll be any moves, at least with the big clubs, and I'll explain that to you again. The special one, José Mourinho, has been dismissed. What is going on? We saw Abel Ferreira getting a very, very big deal with Palmeiras, with his renewal. We also saw a story by the Record newspaper earlier this week saying that Chelsea had tabled an $85 million euro offer to Sporting for their Swedish superstar, which has since been denied. I'll give you some insight as to what I really think happened behind the scenes, and I'm almost 90% sure that it is correct. And of course, we'll do our first and second division report, Big Four report, player abroad report, really keeping you up to date. You're a Portuguese expert for over 25 years doing PortugueseSoccer.com, and I'll be keeping you, as always, up to date week to week. If, of course, you have a busy schedule and you can't do it, well, you could always do it here with this weekly podcast. Let me just start off like I always do, and that is basically talking about what was going on a year ago today in Portugal with our Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer. And a year ago at this time, and we're talking January 20, 21, 22, 23 of 2023. Big story last year was Gonçalo Guedes went from on loan to Benfica, and right away in his debut back with the club Benfica, he scores one of the goals as Benfica went to the Azores and beat Santa Clara 3-0. He basically says to the news, it was a spectacular night, but he was still very, very nervous. And that was going on with Benfica. This was also right around the time last year when Spurs were starting to make their move for Pedro Porro. It was right around the time when they had sort of, if you remember last year, they made a few offers. Sporting wasn't accepting it. Then they sort of gave up on him. And then all of a sudden, they came back for him again. And this is when they were making their second move. Braga already played their match day 17 match, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. But last year at this time, pretty much as they just did against Família Cone this week. Last year at this time, they recorded a big 2-1 win at Passos de Ferreira. Of course, if you remember, Passos de Ferreira last year was essentially awful, went through a long stretch of not winning. But they gave Braga a hard time. But Braga, much like they just did this week against Fama a year ago today, they also won in the last minute to beat Passos de Ferreira. We saw João Mário score a goal as Porto defeated Guimarães 1-0. We saw in the women's football, we saw Benfica's team beat up on Sporting in the Lisbon Women's Derby 5-0. And also at this time last year, Cristiano Ronaldo had arrived in Saudi Arabia, and he was just about to play this week his first match for his new club in Saudi Arabia. So that, what was going on about a year ago at this time in Portuguese football. But let's get going here, talking about a very busy week because weekend football, midweek football with the League Cup. Then next week we have the League Cup final as well as the continuation of match day 19. And it's pretty much midweek football, weekend football. And then don't forget, coming up here in about 2 weeks, we'll have midweek football with the quarterfinals of the Portuguese Cup. So it's pretty much every 3 or 4 days, especially for the big clubs in Portugal. But we'll start off first with the League Cup. And of course, this is, I believe, the 17th edition of the Taça da Liga. It gets going on Tuesday with the first matchup between Braga taking on Sporting. And then, of course, we'll have on Wednesday Benfica versus Estoril. Benfica is the leader of this competition. They've won it something like 8 or 9 times. Braga won it with Zé Pazedo about 10 years ago. Sporting, I think, has won something like 3 of the last 5. Of course, we know last year Porto finally won their first trophy last year, but this year they were eliminated in the group stage. And Estoril Praia, which hasn't been playing well lately in their last three matches. Prior to that, under Vasco Ciabra, they were fantastic, beat Porto twice. They pretty much got themselves out of the bottom of the league, went to the middle of the table. But since then, they've been slipping. But during the time they did play well, they did manage to qualify for the Taça of the Liga, the League Cup. So again, on Tuesday, Braga against Sporting. Very quick preview on this match. Braga, in their last nine matches against a Portuguese Big Three, Sporting, Porto, and Benfica, they have three draws and they have six losses. So Braga, which is really trying hard to finish in the top three every season, has not done well against their three bigger clubs here in Portugal. But they have a chance to redeem themselves, and they will be playing Sporting. Of course, Sporting has won this competition the last few years with Ruben Amorim, who has almost owned this competition except for last year. But Ruben Amorim will be going up against his former club, Braga. And again, these are clubs that have already won this competition. And this is a great match, because even though sometimes we sit here and we say Braga is going to be a very good match, and it seems like the big three always have the best of them, this is still a very, very good semifinal match. And then, of course, Benfica. Again, Benfica still doesn't, many people still don't feel they're playing as well as they should, although they have been putting together some recent good results, especially in the Liga. And after all, they're only, well, they play the day I dropped this episode, but if they win, they would continue to only trail Sporting by 1 point. But they'll be playing Estoril Praia, a club that they've had a lot of success with. But we shall see. Will we have a Braga or Sporting taking on either Benfica or Estoril Praia in the final next Saturday? We shall see. The final, of course, will be on the 27th. That will be next week when I drop this episode. And all these matches, by the way, on Tuesday, Wednesday with the semis and the final on Saturday will all be played at 19:45. And they're all going to be played on, they'll all be in Portugal on SIC TV, which leads me to believe that this match will not be available again to us people outside of Portugal on RTP International, which I always find to be very disappointing. And matter of fact, let me just do this, actually, 1 second while I have you here. Let me double check that. I should already have all this stuff, but sometimes things come up. Let me see Tuesday's RTP schedule. Are they by some chance picking up the broadcast? No. I don't know. Let me tell you, how many times, if you're a regular follower of this podcast, you know that I have complained in the past. There were several years where RTP did not have the rights to the Taça of the Portugal final. There's been some years they haven't had the rights to the Taça of the Liga semifinals or final. RTP, and when RTP does, we get to watch it on RTP International, because the League Cup, unlike Liga Betclic, the Liga, which does have a lot of, most places around the world broadcasting the Liga. When it comes to the League Cup, my understanding is there are not a lot of people that have the rights to it. And I just think that's a bad job. I have always advocated, I'm a big YouTube guy. It's available to everybody around the world. Yes, you could probably put it on Facebook too. But a lot of people, I don't understand, for the people outside of Portugal, slap a sponsor logo. Let people outside of Portugal watch it on YouTube. You're going to draw a very big audience. There's a chance to monetize this in the future. And who knows, maybe eventually someone will come along in all the different countries and buy the rights to the League Cup. But right now, according to what I'm seeing, I'm going to have to be stuck with the Relato listening to Antena 1 if things don't change. And I don't, because I'm pretty sure Gold TV, I don't believe they have the rights here in North America. And by the way, this could be, for a very long time, the last time that we might be seeing the semifinals and the final being played in Portugal. Because again, like I talked about last week, there is some talk about the Final Four and the final being moved, taking an opportunity lucratively. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of money offered, maybe to move it to Saudi Arabia next year, to the Middle East. And then eventually it could be moved around Europe, which I advocate. I could understand going to Saudi Arabia because they're probably going to make a lot of money off of it. Whether or not they're going to have 50,000 people watching the game, I don't know. I think there's some type of, I can't remember if it was an Italy Cup match or something that's going on in Saudi Arabia, and that doesn't seem to have attracted a lot of fans. Everybody thinks that all the matches in Saudi Arabia are being played in front of a full house, but apparently it's only the big teams with the big superstars that are really attracting a lot of people. But this is going to be the last one in Portugal, I think, for a very long time, because I think they're going to start moving it around. And by the way, I don't think, I know where I live here in North America, we're expecting snow tomorrow. So I'm not sure if it's going to come to North America right away, certainly not to the cold part of North America, unless somehow they decide to go to Miami. But, you know, I could see some people flying down to Miami, Portuguese, a lot of us going down, yes. But is it going to fill up 40,000? Probably not. But again, I could be wrong. Things could change. So the League Cup is going to be the big focus next week. By the way, let me also just say that when it comes to the Liga, so I'll talk about in a minute, match day 18, but now I'm talking about match day 19. So next week, second division football is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but first division football, nothing on Friday, nothing on Saturday, because they're going to allow the build-up to the Taça da Liga final next Saturday. And then on Sunday will be match day 19, and the four clubs that are playing in the semifinals, they will know their schedule. So if you are eliminated in the semis, you're probably going to be playing your match day 19 match either on Sunday or Monday. If you're playing in the final on Saturday, that means you're going to probably be playing your match day 19 match probably on the following Wednesday. And I'll follow up with this again. But just to say that the weekend of the cup final, the schedule is going to be a little bit quirky, because if you're playing in the final that Saturday, that means your match will likely be pushed. Well, would have been that weekend, it'll be pushed to the middle of the week. So that's what I'm saying when I say that we've got midweek football, we've got weekend football. It's pretty much going to be this way for like the next 2 or 3 weeks. But hey, I think we all want to watch football. We're not playing it, but for us, we're just going to be watching it or following it on social media. But moving along to match day 18, it's already started. Because of the fact that clubs are trying to make sure that they have the certain amount of days of rest before they play the final next, the semifinals of the League Cup on Tuesday. We've already seen Braga went down early to Fama 1-0, came back to win 2-1 on a goal in the 11th minute of stoppage time by Álvaro de Jolo. His sixth of the season for Braga. He's going to be making some money next summer. We saw Sporting. They went down early to Vizela 1-0, but came back to win 5-2. Goyokeresh with a brace, and Paulinho got on the scoreboard, if I recall, and Sporting continues in first place. That'll put the pressure on Benfica, who will be, the day I drop this episode, Friday, will be playing at home against a bottom club, Boavista. But if Benfica wins, they will continue to stay 1 point behind Sporting. And there's only one match, by the way, on Saturday. And then, one match on Friday. We have three matches on Saturday. Estoril Praia, Arouca, Casa Pia, Feirense. So Estoril, they're only playing on Wednesday. But instead of playing on Friday, they're playing on Saturday. Then we've got Casa Pia, Feirense, Porto. Obviously, they've been eliminated from the cup, so they'll be playing as they would have played on Saturday against a very good sixth-place Moreirense team. And then Sunday, Portimonense, Gil Vicente, Chaves, Rio Ave, and Vitória Guimarães currently sitting. Well, they were sitting going into this weekend in fourth place, but Braga's win puts Braga back into fourth, Vitória back in fifth. But with the win, Vitória could jump back and take over fourth place. Vitória on Sunday will be playing Estrela Amadora. So again, match day 18 this weekend. Semifinals of the League Cup Tuesday and Wednesday. Final next Saturday. And then next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere along those ranges, we'll be seeing match day 19. And the teams that are eliminated in the semifinals will likely be playing next weekend. Those that are playing in the final will likely be playing either on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Go to PortugueseSoccer.com, social media, or Twitter for more information. Moving along here, talking about the second division report. First off, we've already had one match that was played during the holiday break. Leiria drew 1-1 with Passos de Ferreira. So that is the only match that has been played from match day 18. Everything else gets going the day I drop this, with Lank Vilafredense last place. They did record a big win last week. They will be taking on Académico do Viseu. We've got three matches on a Saturday. The one to me that's most interesting is Mafra Benfica B. And then we have four matches on Sunday. Turians Santa Clara is, in my opinion, the best match of the second division of match day 18. You're talking about the fifth place team playing the first place team. That is a very good match. And then you got a bit of a derby with Marítimo and Nacional. Currently, Marítimo is in fourth place. Nacional is in second place. And that's a pretty good derby as well, taking place this weekend, going on in Madeira. And again, Santa Clara in first place with 36 points. Nacional and AVS in second, tied for second with 34. Marítimo keeping it close with fourth place with 28 points. And then Turians from Torres Vedras and Tundela are basically tied for fifth place with 27 points each. Santa Clara in good shape. Really good shape, a good battle going on for the top three. And that is basically your second division report. Women's football this weekend. Well, first off, it's the Portuguese Cup, the Taça de Portugal, the round of 16. Basically, Saturday, one match, Sporting taking on Clube de Albergaria. And then you have six matches being played on Sunday. Fama will be at home to Benfica. Braga will be at home to Marítimo. And Vitória, Setúbal, will be playing Kadima. Those are the very interesting names. And my favorite name in women's football, Racing Power FC, will be at home to Turiense's women's football club. And 3 days later, Lank Vila Verdense will be playing Gil Vicente as well. And so fourth round, the round of 16 of women's football will be taking place this weekend. Moving along here, and before I want to talk about the Record newspaper story, which is something I'm going to be talking about pretty big here, before I get to that, let me just give you some other news going on in Portugal, what I call the Liga report, that doesn't necessarily involve the big three. First off, Bayern Munich is in Portugal training in Algarve, in Faro. Of course, Germany is on their winter break, and Bayern has decided to go to the Algarve. No surprise, so many clubs already put their camp in southern Portugal. The hotels are all built for it, and Bayern is, at least when I dropped this episode, are continuing their mid-winter camp in southern Portugal, Algarve. Portugal, there was footy headlines, which I believe is a Twitter and website where the sneakers, the kits, the shoes, it's basically where people put the, how can I really describe it, a sneak preview of things and then try to get opinions on people whether they like it or not. It's kind of an opportunity to measure your product before it goes out to the masses. But interesting Portugal kit, an away kit for Euro 2004. Basically a kit made of tijolo, which is Portuguese. What's the best way I can describe it? It's basically, it's kind of like, it's got different colors, of course, you can do it. But a tijolo is basically a Portuguese tin glazed ceramic tile work. I've got that. My parents have it on the walls of their home in Portugal, especially on the outside. But the kit is going to have that tijolo look, that sort of plastery of the wall look. It kind of looks very silvery, which doesn't blend with, let's say, the red and green of what we usually get with Portugal. But that looks to be a kit. And I'll be honest with you, I actually think it's pretty cool. And of course, this summer is the last summer or last competition for Portugal because Puma will be taking over the Portugal kit and everything starting in 2025. Other news in Portugal, Vitória's Guimarães' Jota Silva has been getting some interest from Nice and Milan. He, of course, I always remember him. He helped bring, if I recall, Casapia up to the first division. Got signed with Vitória Guimarães, and he's done a very good job with them. Very good job. I think some people would say their only disappointment was not qualifying for the Europa Conference League. But Jota is apparently getting on the radar of Europe. I'm surprised one of the big three haven't picked him up yet, but that's what's been happening. Boa Vista has basically, they start off the season in their first five matches, they had 13 points. Bosnick was scoring a lot of goals, and Petit was looking like an absolute genius manager. Well, here we are in the middle of January, and they've only had one win, which they did last week, their first win going back all the way to September. So that is pretty much your Liga report in terms of not, well, pretty much everybody else in the Liga but the big three and Braga, or as I say, the big four. Player abroad, manager abroad, obviously the big story this week. The special one, Jose Mourinho, was dismissed by Roma. Major influence he had with Roma, taking them to two European Cups. He kept Roma in the news. And look, he is great. He is one of the best managers of this generation for everything he's accomplished. I mean, taking Roma to back-to-back European Cups. But he has been dismissed. Fabio Capello, the great Italian legendary manager, came out criticizing the American owners of Roma for not having enough patience. I agree. I mean, for everything he's done with the club, and granted, they're not, I think they're in like 12th place in Serie A, and I think they've only won like one of their last six matches when I'm dropping this episode. But you would have thought they maybe they would have given him a few more matches to turn it around. But look, Jose Mourinho is going to get a nice buyout. The question is what he does next. Brazil national team, he's been linked with the Brazil national team. Well, he's available now. You'd be curious to see whether or not he will go after that job, because after all, he wants to manage a club that's going to compete for cups. And obviously, Brazil will compete for the World Cup. They will compete for the Copa America. But does he want to go to Brazil now when only the next major competition is going to be, I believe, the Copa America this summer, which is taking place in the United States, if I recall. So the question is what is he going to do next? Abel Ferreira has renewed with Brazilian club Palmeiras until 2025. You would have thought by now that he probably would have made the move back to Europe, considering all his success with Palmeiras, but he seems to be very, very happy competing in Brazil. We saw Bernardo Silva and Ruben Dias named to the best World 11 by FIFA FIFPro. So congratulations to Bernardo Silva and Ruben Dias. Obviously, both of them played a big factor in why City obviously won a lot of cup trophies last year, including, of course, winning the Premier League. I'm going to move along to the transfer report, and my transfer report information is the same thing it is last year, which will lead me to this record newspaper story that took place this week. But if you're listening to this for the first time, or you haven't listened to the last few episodes, let me repeat what I said last week. There is only one club in Portugal next year that will qualify for the Champions League direct. The second place team has to go through the playoffs. Portugal has lost a Champions League spot. Now, you're probably saying, what has that got to do with talking about the transfer window? Oh, no, it has a lot to do with got through the transfer window, because this year in Portugal, among the big three in Braga, it's important to finish first to go directly to the Champions League and collect those $40 million in addition to whatever you make in the Champions League. And if you don't, it's important to finish second to go to the playoff. There's nothing for third place. So is Sporting going to sell Jokeres? Is Sporting going to sell Gonçalo Inácio? Is Porto going to sell Diego Costa? Is Benfica going to sell João Neves or Antonio Silva, whomever? There was even talk of maybe Arthur Cabral being sold. No. Because right now, no one wants to mess with the chemistry of their club, because there's too much money riding on the line if they don't qualify for the Champions League. And yes, you can make some good amount of money. I could see Benfica possibly making a move because they were awful in the Champions League. They only made a few million on top of the 40-something that they made for qualifying for the groups. But remember, last year they made something like close to 80. This year they only made half. I could see maybe Benfica doing something in the middle. But I don't see it happening right away until really the summer. But if there was any possibility, I could see maybe Benfica selling a player or two. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be João Neves or Antonio Silva. But Portuguese clubs are not going to sell their best players simply because, I mean, could you imagine if Sporting sold their Swedish superstar? 22 goals in 25 matches, and all of a sudden you sell them after you get them 6 months ago from Coventry, and all of a sudden you're going to sell him. You honestly think Sporting's going to sell him in the middle of the year? No. So my point is there's going to be moves, but it's going to be with the smaller clubs. Players that are surplus are going to be moved by the big three in Braga. There's already a report about Braga, you know, not Ricardo Horta, but his brother Andre Horta going to Olympiacos. There's already a Portuguese manager there, as well as other players. But I don't see any big players. So that leads me to talk about the story this week in the record newspaper, The Record. And that was that they had a report that said that Chelsea had tabled an offer of 85 million for Goyokeres, and that Sporting said no. Ruben Amorim was asked. He thought that offer was too low, and then he was asked again after the Vizela match, and he basically said that Hugo Viana, the sports director, told him there was no offer. So here's the thing with the Portuguese press. There's the Record, there's the Ebola, and there's the Jogo. Then you have Mais Futebol, which a lot of people feel is the most objective, fair, neutral newspaper there is, that doesn't give one attention to a big club or the other. Then you have 00.pt, which is a fantastic website. Then you have the news, the CNN Portugals, the SIC Noticias, that have their midday and sometimes early evening shows where all they do is they talk about transfers, right? And all the unofficial media of Portuguese football, and it's no different here with PortugueseSoccer.com, we're always citing them as the sources. None of us know anything. I certainly don't know anything. Does Record know anything? And did they put that story in the newspaper? Did they have any valid information? Because the reports later, it says that it isn't. And Portuguese newspapers frustrate a lot of people, because when a lot of players have interest in Portugal, the unofficial, you know, like I'll give you an example, Chelsea. The way a lot of the Chelsea, not just on YouTube, but also Chelsea social media, took to this story and went crazy with it off of one report just shows you how much people only really care sometimes about the players and Goyokeres. And he's a great player. There's still that whole thing about him not doing as well last year in the championship, which I got a good question about, which I'll talk about in the mailbag. So the question is was Record right? And here's what I think. I don't believe that Chelsea went directly to Sporting with an offer. I think that the agent probably got involved, or a third party, a friend of an agent, or a friend of somebody at the club at Chelsea. And I think they did speak to somebody at Sporting and kind of mentioned it in passing. And a lot of times that's how it is. It's not official between the two clubs, but it's usually third parties or people associated with the clubs, friends of the clubs that do it. I believe that's what happened here. So in other words, do I believe that the Record, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, just wrote up a lie and put it out there? No, I believe genuinely, because I know some of the people that Record, there was some information that was given to them. We don't know who, we know it was somebody. And that person was probably dealing with either the agent or the club. And that's what I think is my opinion. Again, that's all this is an opinion. Don't lose sleep over it. But I believe that that's how a lot of times these things happen. Sometimes there are intermediaries that will ask the questions, will make the indirect offers. Because I just personally, for me, and remember, Record is considered a sporting newspaper, I just don't necessarily believe that they made it up. I believe that they had to have heard something, but it necessarily may not have been direct with Chelsea, so that Chelsea could say, well, no, we never did this, or that Sporting could say, no, me, I'm the sports director, no, I never received an offer. That happens sometimes in that world when there's a lot of people involved and there's a lot of indirect talk. Again, just my opinion. But I do believe there's interest by Chelsea, just like I think there's interest in other clubs in Europe. But I think that's what happened here, and we'll see if, in fact, when we get to the summer, because Ruben Amorim said he thinks he's going to lose some of his best players in the summer. But not now, like I said before. If you're coming here to get an exclusive, and by the way, what exclusives are they? Everybody gets it from the big three newspapers. They get it from Mais Futebol. They get it from 00.pt, CNN Portugal. That's where everybody's getting their news from. And they're getting it from the intermediaries, is how I believe this works. There's no unofficial Twitter accounts anywhere that are getting this exclusive. The only official that reports the news is Fabrizio Romano. And he even came out quickly the next morning after this story and denied it. But like I always said, there's only three people that know what's really going on. The club, okay? The agent, and the players. A lot of times you're gonna hear the players say, well, I'm only concentrating on the season. I haven't been thinking about that. That's why I have an agent. No. Players know what's going on. I don't ever believe that a player says that he's not paying attention if a club like Chelsea comes along and expresses an interest. They're not going to talk about it. They're going to give you that answer, but of course they're interested. Why wouldn't you want to know that Chelsea is interested in you? You're going to be motivated to come out and score more goals. It's the way it works. But that's the way the media works. I believe it's through intermediaries. I usually have people that send me information. A lot of times I don't know how to vet it, so I don't use it. A lot of them say they're with this party, but I don't usually use it because I don't know if it's true and I don't want to be part of that machine, especially if it turns out later to be false. And we've had a lot of false stories. Remember Benfica, Cavani? You know, remember that one? That wasn't true, and we've had a lot of people that have been reported to go to Portugal or to be sold to a club. That generally doesn't happen, so that's just my opinion. Let me move along here to the Big Four report before I get to the mailbag. Ruben Amorim was named the manager of the month for December. Not a surprise. Sporting involved in all four competitions. Really no surprise there. And of course, as I told you, Amorim doesn't see anyone leaving in January, and I already told you about my opinion with the record of the newspaper. Porto Tereme reportedly will be leaving Porto in the summer on a free. He's reportedly during this, he's away on national team duty in the Asian Cup, but supposedly he's going to sign with Inter for 2 years. He's allowed to sign and talk to them because now he's in the final 6 months of his contract and FIFA allows you to talk. And so apparently Porto might be losing him on a free. David Carmo, reports are that he's going to be going to Olympiacos with the Portuguese manager Carlos Corvial. But that will only happen when Porto find a replacement at center back, according to when I dropped this report. Andres Villas-Boas, the worst secret in the world, finally did announce his candidacy for Porto president. Had some very strong things to say about. He wants to get rid of the climate of fear. He, of course, is referring to the fact that a lot of people are very scared to criticize the administration. They're very scared of the supporters, and he wants to stop that. We obviously saw what happened about a month ago at a General Assembly and how it kind of turned into ugly when they had to move it to a bigger place. Hey, not saying anything that isn't true. We all know it. We saw it. He wants to stop with that, and he wants to bring the club to more respectability. He says the club has failed with too many deals. He says the club is not doing a great job scouting. Porto used to be a reference 10 years ago, but they are no longer. They're not getting those great young players anymore, and they're failing, and they're also losing players to the free, and he promised to come in and change that. So the Andres Villas-Boas versus Pedro da Costa, as I record this, hasn't officially announced it, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be. I think we all know. That's going to be a hell of a campaign. I wonder if they'll debate, but that is going to be a hell of a campaign, I got to tell you, if it in fact does happen. Moving on to Benfica, very surprising news. Gonçalo Ramos, and I'm bringing up Gonçalo's with Benfica. Let me do this. Let me do the international report before I go to Benfica and Braga. I already told you about José Mourinho. Nuno Mendes has resumed training with PSG. This is very good news for the Portuguese national team this summer. He's been out for quite a while injured. But Gonçalo Ramos apparently doesn't seem to be impressing a lot at PSG. And there is talk that he may be moved a year ago that he was? He was moved, in the summer? It is not working out well at PSG, so this is a bit of a disappointment. Be curious. I know a Benfica fan that wants to see João Félix and Ramos back at Benfica on loan. He feels that if they do that, then Benfica would do very well in Europe. I don't see that happening, but you know what? You don't really know. But that's my international report, and talking about Andres Villas-Boas, that's my Porto report. Benfica, they have signed Álvaro Fernández, who apparently now is also called, he's rebranding his name. Carreras is what I was told. Marcos Leonardo, of course, scored his debut goal last week in the Liga win. And Rollhauser is expected to arrive and sign until 2029. Big match today against Boavista. The day I dropped this episode for Benfica. If they win, they will continue to be 1 point behind Sporting. Braga, I told you the story, of course, as you know. Big win against Fama in the last second. They're playing in the Taça da Liga next week. The question is can they? What are they going to do against Sporting? Last nine matches against the big three, three draws and six losses. What will be the story? Big news is André Horta is reportedly going to be going to Olympiacos to join the Portuguese there with an option to buy. André Horta, of course, is the brother of Ricardo Horta. Ricardo, of course, is the more scoring Horta of this group. And by the way, last year at this time, Ricardo Horta was getting a lot of attention. And I mean a lot of attention to being moved. And remember, there was this whole thing with Malaga. And Ricardo Horta is still with Braga, which I kind of find interesting news. Let me get to the last part of this episode. Before let me just do like I always do. Thank you for listening. People always ask, how can you support? It's very simple. Give it a follow to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. I also put the audio up on YouTube for those that rather listen to it there. And of course, it's also available on the website, PortugueseSoccer.com. And of course, please do support as well. All the social media associated with PortugueseSoccer.com, PSoccerCom at Twitter, Facebook, Portuguese_soccer_Noticias for Instagram, our partner there, as well as the Thread channel. And again, if you're listening to this for 10 minutes, if you're listening to this for the whole episode, muito obrigado. I think you know how much I appreciate it. Thank you. And if you're listening to this for the first time, I've been doing Portuguese soccer for over 25 years. So many of my listeners weren't even born then. I've seen it from different generations, and I try to bring that opinion here. And my email, and I got to do a better job of giving it out. You don't like what I say, you like what I say, you got a comment that you want me to read out, like I'm going to do in a few minutes here. PSoccerCom@gmail.com. Again, PSoccerCom@gmail.com. You want to criticize me, you think I'm wrong, hey, feel free to call me out. Let me talk about my favorite club in Portugal. They are in the fifth tier. The dream is to see them move up the tables and hopefully one day make it as far as the second division. They don't have the resources for the first unless somebody rich buys them. Atlético dos Arcos last week, it hurts me to say this, they played to a draw and Munson won. So right now the lead is back to 5 points. Atlético dos Arcos with 44. Munson with 39. This weekend, Atlético dos Arcos will be playing the 12th place team in this table, Castelhanos, and Munson will be playing the team that took my last name, Neves FC, and that'll be what's going on. And of course, last year at this time, we had a 5-point lead, and we lost it. Our manager eventually left because of the losses. It went all downhill. Hopefully, this draw last week is not anything bad to come. I will keep it positive, but fortunately we are playing. We're playing a team that is minus 14 goal differential, and they've only won 4 matches. We are going to be going to their place as we begin sort of the second half of the season. And again, in the districts, the fifth tier, only the first place team advances to the fourth tier. The top two are qualified for the next year's Taça de Portugal Portuguese Cup, and I think we've got the Portuguese Cup for now wrapped up. We have an 8-point lead on third place, Valenciano. But after what happened last year, can't take anything for granted. Big game this weekend against Castelhanos. We need to go there and get the 3 points. I cannot handle another year of failure in the middle of the season or going to the playoff at the end of the season because goal differential or head-to-head doesn't count. If you're tied, you got to go to a one-game playoff at a neutral site. And the last time, 2 times we've done it, we've been eliminated. We didn't win. I can't deal with that again. But let's go. Atlético dos Arcos this weekend. And by the way, I'm going to continue to email you until you finally put the games at home on YouTube TV. Let's get going with the mailbag. And I've got 3 terrific questions here. The first one is from Donnie Kroll, who's from the Netherlands. Hello, I hope this email finds you well. I'm from the Netherlands and I'm an Ajax fan and Sporting fan. I wanted to make a comment about the things you were saying about Goyokeres coming from the second division of England, not doing amazing there, and suddenly in the Portuguese league being a superstar. I fully agree with you that the Portuguese league is much stronger. At Ajax in the Netherlands, we bought this summer Chuba Akpom. I apologize if I said that right. He was the top scorer of the English second division last season, but at Ajax, he is not playing well at all. Doesn't even make it to the starting 11. As I think the Portuguese league is stronger than the Dutch league, this confirms that people shouldn't be thinking that the English second division is better than the Primeira Liga in Portugal. I just want to let you know, based on the things happening with Akpom at Ajax. Keep up the good work. I really like your podcast. Kind regards, Danny Kroll. Yes, so there is a player as well last year, leading scorer in the championship, the second division of England. He goes to Ajax, and let's be honest with you, Ajax is one of the big clubs in Europe. Maybe people don't put him in the same thing, but certainly a very big club, Ajax. A lot of respect to them, of course. And they get a player, and he hasn't, been doing that well. Regarding Goyokeres, and the fact that he's doing so well after not doing so well last year, I think that the thing with Goyokeres is let me move closer to the mic here. I think he has, first off, more talent with Sporting. He's got more creative opportunity players that put him in the position to score. And I think that's one of the reasons why Goyokeres is doing as well as he is with Sporting this year. And I think when people say that the English second division is harder, and as a result, if he's going to Portugal and he's doing better, that proves that the English second division is stronger. I don't believe that because we obviously know that in Portugal, just look at the interest, there's a lot more money there. And regarding the Ajax player who did well in the second division and is not doing well in Ajax, one could argue that maybe, the Ajax league is tougher if he's not as successful. But I don't think that's the case. I think what happens a lot of times, let me end it by this. Players, first off, you have to remember they're moving to a new country. Okay? They have to move their families. Their kids go from whatever their native language is to a country that probably doesn't easily have, depending on the city you is, the language that you would like your kids to grow up in. A lot of people put their kids in English school because that's such a common language. I know that to be the case in Portugal in a lot of cases if people could afford it. But I don't think the comparison is there. I just think Goyokeres is just doing better because he's got better players, and I think the player in Ajax maybe just hasn't blended very well. But I definitely respect your comment. Thank you so much for listening. I got a lot of followers from Holland. I never knew that. And I got another one coming up here soon. Next up is Glenn Gomes from Australia, Down Under. Australian Open going on. I watch that all the time. We've got a Portuguese player named Borges who's through to the third round right around the time that I'm recording this. Basically, Glenn asked me, and I'm going to paraphrase his question, was about Braga. He considers them to be a very big club. He considers them to always be a contender. But if I recall reading this, what he was asking was very simple. If they don't finish in the top three, is that a failure for Braga? In other words, if they were to finish fifth, is that a failure? I hope I phrased it the right way, Glenn. Because, in Portugal, if you don't finish in first and you're the big three and you finish second or third, that's considered to be a disappointment. So what is Braga's success? Well, Braga's goal is to finish in the top three. As long as they finish ahead of one of the big three, that's perfect for Antonio Salvador to go to the Saucers and say, look, our club is finishing top three. We finished ahead of Sporting last year and went to the Champions League when we went through the playoffs. Let's say they finished second this year. Yeah, we finished ahead against these two big clubs, and now we're competing for the playoff to go to the Champions League. Those are things that are very important to a club president. But at the same time, Braga, which went into this weekend in fifth place, that's a major disappointment. Anything not in the top three for Braga, finishing even in fourth is a disappointment because it means it's just the same old Braga finishing in fourth place. So in my opinion, Glenn, yes, it would be an epic disaster if they finish fourth or fifth. They got a lot of work to do. If, as I said, in the last nine matches against the big three, three draws and six losses, can they change it against Sporting on Tuesday? We'll see. But it would be a very, very big disappointment. But their goal is to finish top three. And Salvador has made it clear. One day, when everything goes right, he wants to win the Liga title. And I believe they can do that someday. It's just not going to happen right now, even though this is probably the most talented Braga team since the team that made it to the Europa final, in my opinion. Next up, the last one here is Jack Hacken, Casapia. Jack, I believe you're also from Holland. I have another question, comment for the mailbag. If you were made the general CEO, director of Boavista, what kind of things would you be looking at the club to get them back on the right track and repair many of their well-known problems? Obviously, he's talking about the finances. And what do you think is already something good about this club that can be used as a weapon in the future? I personally think the scouting and the youth department are some of the best outside the big three in Braga and Portugal. What's your opinion? And as always, I'd like to end by with a personal thank you for answering my question, and I hope you gave a good positive spin with that six-pack of Liga experience. Yes! My Liga experience. Here's the thing with Boavista. Boavista, if I remember, came up through the courts because of a controversy with, I think it was, they were basically relegated because it's kind of escaping me right now. I remember them competing with my club, Atletico dos Arcos, in like the fourth tier. And then they came up, if I recall, through the courts because they were deemed to have been wrongfully relegated. The point that I'm trying to make here is because they came up that way and not necessarily through promotion, they did not have the talent or the money to try to be Division One club. They made it work, but as we can see, it technically hasn't been working. Now, they are a club, the last one outside the big three to win a title. I remember that very well, back in 2000, 2001. They are in Porto, second biggest city in Portugal. Big fan base when they're winning. There's a lot going for them, but the problem with them is they've got too many money problems. If they don't sell their best players in the January window, they're going to be in trouble. They could be relegated again for money issues and be sent down to the third division like Vitória Setúbal was a few years ago. They have good things going for them, but the problem is that they just probably came up and they weren't ready. And even though they've been finishing sort of toward the bottom and they survive, they just never had the infrastructure and the scouting system that got them to the first division via promotion. When you make it another way, none of that is in place. And as we could see, it's been a lot of problems. Bosnić, their top striker, supposedly, I think, is, I can't remember if it was Porto or Benfica that's looking at him. I think it might have been Porto. We'll see if that happens. But in my opinion, what hurt Boavista was the promotion via the courts because they did not come up in successfully promotion and they don't have the infrastructure or the money or the scouting. Even though they got some good players, they just don't have it the way, let's say, a Belenenses is the way they came up with the districts. They're better cushioned to eventually go to the first division and be a better competitor than Boavista because they won't be in such financial disarray. That's my opinion. Anyway, folks, as always, thank you so much for listening. Any comments, peacesoccercom@gmail.com. I went a little bit longer than I would like, but hey, that means you only get to listen to me more. And let me just end this podcast like I always do. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your family. And I'll talk to you next week when we get to the League Cup final. Ciao, everybody.